Hey, everybody. Welcome to Edge of Wonder with your hosts, Ben and Rob. With the midterms rapidly approaching, we've been noticing that a battleground is being prepared. It's Biden versus MAGA over politics, Hillary versus Trump over classified materials, and left versus right over vaccines. But who's the one pulling the strings, and where will the chips fall? What crazy things are the media saying now? And why does this feel like a flashback to 2016 or 2020 all over again? This Edge of Wonder Live, we're going to talk all about it.
Yep, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're investigative researchers who expose cover-up truths, unearth hidden history, share information the mainstream media just won't or refuse to discuss, and we explore humanity's buried spiritual potential. So even with all the censorship these days, we aren't going to stop talking, and tonight we'll be getting into this midterm battle for control. So let's get started, and we'll see you guys out
on the edge. Yeah, Ben, your volume is a little low.
It's kind of low. I'm turning it. Okay, if it gets too loud, let me.
Well, no, I think your gain, if you put your gain up, it's just going to vibrate, but there's something else going on.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. So maybe I will turn that down and move my mic closer. Maybe that might help, but okay, we'll see. Okay, anyway, how is everyone doing? So let's just start out right away with this Kathy Griffin thing, because this is super, super weird. Lindsay, can you pull this up? So Kathy Griffin just threatened the country with a civil war if you don't vote Democrat. How pathetic and desperate. If they want a war, don't give them a civil war. They deserve a revolutionary war. The government and its puppets versus the people. So Kathy Griffin wrote, this is a response to her tweet, and she wrote, if you don't want a civil war, vote for Democrats in November. If you do want a civil war, vote Republican. What are your thoughts, Rob?
I think that if anyone on the quote unquote MAGA side or a conservative said this, that everyone would be going crazy right now, saying that they were threatening to blow up the world and all of that stuff and calling them extremists, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a little bit silly that there is a double standard going on like all the time right now. I mean, Kathy Griffin is not a stable person. She's not.
Right. Pull up the other tweet, Lindsay. I mean, if we all remember what made Kathy Griffin so infamous during the show, this thing really bothers me. I mean, can you imagine if this was anybody else, or if this was like,
she has a wild case of Sanpaku eyes. Like, she's almost at the level of like Salvador Dali. Like, she's showing three whites, almost four whites.
I mean, it almost looks like to me like she's like possessed. Probably.
She looks like she belongs in that movie Hocus Pocus. You know, like dress her up and throw her on there and start playing Disney tunes, and you got it. You know.
It's so nuts, man. Okay, Lindsay, can you take this off? I don't want to see it anymore. It's so depressing, and it's just. And they're like calling, you know, all these Republicans, look how evil they are. And it's like, I mean, she's the one holding Trump's head.
I mean, yeah, like no one on the conservative side really did anything even close to something like this. Right.
I mean, this reminds me of like Vlad the Impaler kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Meanwhile, you know, these like people in Hollywood talking about like Trump's death all the time and all of this stuff. And like it never gets called out. Like that's serious. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Seriously. All right. Well, you guys, so, okay, we're going to be talking all about the midterms and coming into the vaccines and kind of Biden and Trump stuff. But actually, to be honest, I wasn't really even sure what is going on in this midterm elections. Cause I mean, it's not like we're voting for a president. Why is Biden freaking out so much, you know, and
Because lots of governors will be voted in, Ben. And it's the governors, like, if we're looking at elected officials around the country, the midterms, so it's every 2 years there's elections, and the midterms actually determine a lot that has to do with the Congress, the Senate, and then governing around the country. Yeah, so governors around the country.
That's what I was realizing as well. There's 435 seats that are decided during the midterm elections, I guess. So, altogether. And then, so what's fascinating is that, so the MSN had this, MSN.com, they had this really interesting article. Control of the Senate is now a flip of a coin. These are the seven midterm election races to watch. And then, so they kind of get into this a little bit, but they say analysis originally projected November to be close to a blowout victory for Republicans across the board in the face of low approval ratings for President Joe Biden and high inflation. But after a series of legislative wins for Democrats on Capitol Hill and primary victories by Trump-backed Republican candidates in battleground states have made control of the chamber more of a flip of a coin. So, that's their analysis of this, right? They're saying, like, oh, now things could kind of go either way. But I think...
Things could either go either way because we got a lot of assets in place to steal the election. And we're planning on keeping everyone inside so we can run mules around everywhere.
There you go, right there. And that explains why Biden gave his...
I was talking to John Paul Rice yesterday, just for a little while, and he was saying that there's this... I can't remember what type of AI it is. It's some AI called Socrates. They named the AI Socrates, and it does analyses of different things. And the Socrates AI has actually determined that Biden's approval rate is somewhere around 10%. So what we're seeing, obviously we know already that they're lying about his approval rate, saying it's 30%. It's like, did you just talk to Democrats when you analyze that? Because you were asking everyone. Yeah. So apparently using different analyses, you can find out the true approval rate, and Biden's approval rate is somewhere around 10%. Not that surprising. It's probably around 8%, I believe. But yeah, only it's a mob rule. It's a bunch. It's just a really small population. This is why he's freaking out. Why everyone's freaking out. Why the globalists are being so rash in their decision making, and why they're pushing everything so hard right now. It's because they know the true data that's like really out there. And
that's a really good point. And actually, did you see Biden's recent? Okay, so Trump had his rally a couple days ago, and I actually was watching a little more than half of it today. And actually, it was really encouraging. You know,
I think last time
he was kind of doing some of these rallies. They weren't really, he just didn't seem confident, like he was losing. This one was kind of the opposite. It really, you know, it's like, here's what we're going to do now, you know, and I think that like everything's now full on the table. It's just like, we're not going to hold back. And after what they're doing to us and what happened to him but he just brought up some really, really amazing key points and so many aspects of just what is going on and what Biden is doing and how they're backtracking on everything. But Lindsay, why don't we show this Tom McDonald? Because this really kind of wraps up everything, no pun intended there. But he's not actually rapping in this video, but this kind of really sums up everything that I think, all my thoughts that I kind of had, and he just puts it out there really super clear.
Yeah, he's funny. I've been watching these.
Said about this most recent Joe Biden speech, you know, the one with the red lights, where he's looking kind of like a pale Skeletor. just so angry. Don't be mad that he said a lot of Republicans are extremists. These are the same people who think a woman is anybody with an imagination who identifies as one. These are the same people that tanked the economy, inflated the price of living, brought us to the brink of war with Russia, cowered from China, funded the pandemic, ignored a fentanyl epidemic, food shortages, gas prices, amplified social unrest, took us to the verge of an energy crisis, and divided America at record speed. If anybody else made this many bad decisions, we wouldn't take a damn thing they say seriously. Don't let them upset you. They wouldn't know what an extremist looked like if it was fully dressed in body armor, burning down a city in broad daylight, and then walked up to them claiming to identify as a lawnmower, offering to cut their grass. Look, my dog has better judgment than these people. And I've seen my dog try to eat his own shit. Look, I know everybody's going to get upset about this person. Well, the one with the red lights.
That's pretty good.
I just thought that was pretty funny. And it's like, man, he's so on point with all this stuff. And what's going on. Okay, so we have this like kind of battle right now with the midterms of Trump and Biden, and like you know, every media is really talking about this, even CNN. That was their whole article that they came out with. You know, and everyone's kind of like, so Rob, actually, do you want to read this a little bit from the CNN article? The bitter battle between Trump and Biden redefines the midterms.
Yeah, is Lindsay going to pull that up?
Yeah. So, okay. And it's...
Man, he does not look all there. Biden? Yeah, he looks like there's this like, yeah, but no, like I saw a few photos from this and he looks very vacant recently, like very vacant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, so Lindsay, scroll down a little bit. Okay, so it says here, it's extraordinary for a defeated ex-president to play a starring role in the first midterm election since he lost power. Yet Donald Trump's decision to use the 2022 elections as a stage to avenge his 2020 defeat and President Joe Biden's strategy of making the man he vanquished the focus of the Democratic campaign or shaking up conventional wisdom about November's critical vote. A race expected to turn on Biden's unpopularity and high inflation had already been shaken up by the overturning of a woman's constitutional right to an abortion by the Supreme Court, whose conservative majority Trump had solidified. Now the ex-president has roared back to center stage, powered by his inflammatory efforts to turn the midterms into a proving ground for his false claims the 2020 election was stolen and reverberations of the FBI search of his resort in Florida. So, was the Trump raid a nothing burger, Ben? That's the question.
That is the question, and that's what I want to get into next. Because so there is this really interesting tweet that I came across, and it basically it's from John Cardillo. He said, "If the FBI seized anything actually damning from Trump, it would have been leaked. Like, let me say, leaked to CNN, Washington Post, and the New York Times 5 minutes after the raid." And that's, I think, the big thing about this is that there was nothing that actually came out. They're like, oh, we have these documents, but we can't really tell you exactly what they are because they're technically classified. And it's like, what documents did you find? What is going on here? Why, where did these come from? And then supposedly there was just envelopes that said classified information on them, but when they opened them, they were empty. So this was actually at Trump's Mar-a-Lago.
Well, that just goes to show you that in Trump's world, there really is nothing that's classified about the man, you know. He's an open book. No classified documents.
Exactly. I mean, that's what's, and I think there could be a couple of things. One, maybe, just maybe, he I don't know if he was trolling the FBI, like he got, you know, caught wind of they're going to do this and like set this whole thing up. Not the raid, but I mean like, okay, well, fine. If they're going to come and I can't stop them, let's just take whatever we have out of there and then we'll leave these like empty envelopes, you know, but I don't know. What do you think?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you had real classified documents, would you keep them in a folder that said classified? Honest question.
It's a really good point, actually.
Yeah. Who keeps folders hanging around that say classified on it? Unless you're trolling someone. I just don't know. I don't know the answer to this question.
I don't know either. That's a really good point. I mean, I know if I had something that was really extremely, like I was really protecting and worried about it, I would almost put it somewhere hidden in plain sight.
I was going to say, I don't think I would put it in a safe. I would like hide it somewhere like under the kitchen tile that's loose or like, you know, something like that.
What it is, you know, I mean, if I had jewelry, I would keep it in the safe probably. But if it was like something really like, okay, if you're going to like rob something or break into something, what's the first place you're going to go? Is you're going to go into, you know, the safe, and that's like where are you going to go, you know? But I have thought of like unusual places, like your refrigerator, for example. You know, it's like an old jar of pickles that no one would ever want to open. You just take like, you know, something
stick
totally
your hand
waterproof
there, and you pull out a pickle like, and then open the pickle and the document is in the pickle.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of thought this through for a while, you know, if I had information somewhere or like a USB stick that I'm like, man, I absolutely would need to hide this, you know, what would I do? I don't want to like give away all my unsecret places, but that's that's probably where but that's one of the things I was kind of thinking about is like, you know, definitely want to do something where you probably wouldn't want to open, you know, but who knows what they ransacked. And I mean, like with Melania, everyone's like, the media is like, oh, Melania bought new clothes, and it's like, well, dude, they went through her like underwear. I mean, like, you're looking for documents. Why would you go through someone's underwear, you know? It's like... The former first lady felt violated by
that's
strangers.
Gross.
Yeah.
Who knows what they did? I would feel the same way if I was her.
Yeah. She actually said because she felt that her belongings had been contaminated, which is why she went out and bought new clothes, especially new underwear. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't blame her.
Yeah,
I don't blame her. Those guys are creepy, you know? And she's like a model looking like, however old she is. She's like 50-something, right? She's like a model. I'd feel weird. And the FBI is so creepy as it is right now, you know? Like, who knows who's in there? If they're half as bad as the CIA, we've got a bunch of creepy people there, you know?
Completely, completely. All right, well, we need to play a trailer, right, Winsley? So we will do that, and we get back, we will show some Biden contradictions and the really bizarre stuff that the White House press secretary is saying, which, like, did you know that Biden added 10,000 million jobs? So
yeah,
figure that out. You're smarter than me. All right, let's play a trailer.
Roll it.
Hidden beneath the Sphinx, there are whispers of a secret. Tucked away in Antarctica, far from the modern world, are ancient monuments and classified military operations. Pyramids found all around the globe may be covering up more than the ancient civilization of Egypt. But go back all the way to Atlantis. What if we uncovered the truth about ancient Atlantis, Antarctica, and Egypt, and how their secrets may change everything we think we know about history? Advanced technology, psychic predictions come true, a Nazi search, and pyramids, hollow earth, warm oases, secret military operations, and pyramids, sacred geometry, the Sphinx's hidden treasure, elongated skulls, and the most famous pyramids of all. What do the secrets of our past mean for humanity today? Find out in Edge of Wonders series, Ancient Civilizations.
Okay, I actually figured out, I think I can adjust my mic now. I've been having issues with it, but I hope it's fixed. So let me know if you guys are still having issues. It was on this like automatic thing and I don't think it worked very well. So it should be good now. Can you hear me?
I think you're a little better now. I think it's a little, I think it's a little better now. Cause before, yeah, I had to put you like all the way up on my volume to hear you properly. And I think this is a little better.
Okay. Yeah. I Firefox is a little, I'm using Firefox right now. And it's a little different than, so let's see. So sorry guys, a little bit technical problems here, but yeah. So for those of you guys watching on Rumble, that's what you just saw is all on our Rise TV platform where you can find the content that Rob and I produce that's edited and using stock footage and all these great things. So definitely check it out. We have so many series on from Edge of Wonder that we've done throughout the years. And God, I don't even know how many episodes we have, at least 200. And we have brand new, actually, Rob, you're going to be here this week. We're going to be shooting a new series all about the cryptids of the seas. So
yeah, I'm flying out to see Ben this weekend. We're going to be shooting all weekend. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of content we're preparing for you guys. That's going to go on to Rise TV. So
yes,
be on the lookout for that.
All right. Sorry, that might okay. Hopefully, my mic is better. If it's a little too loud, let me know. But
no, it's low again now, Ben.
What happened?
Yeah, that's better. I don't know. It's like all it's right. Like your mic is anyway. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what the problem with it is.
I think it's something with Firefox. I was having issues with Chrome, and I usually use Chrome, but I forgot with the mic that I have. It's like not 100% compatible with Firefox. So sorry, guys. But hopefully you can hear us all right. All right. Okay. Before we get in this White House thing, let's go in this Biden contradictions. This is okay. These are real honest quotes. Rob, you can read these.
Okay. Biden in October of 2020, instead of treating each other's party as the opposition, we treat them as the enemy. This must end. Uh-huh.
That's from 2020.
Republican. Yeah, here we go. Biden in September 2022. Republicans fan the flames of political violence. So it's like how it started, how it's going.
Yeah. And
that's
it's
exactly
like,
what these two mean. You know,
he was blaming all the like MAGA Republicans. And then right after that, he's like, but we need unity. And it's like, You just want people to conform. You actually don't want unity at all. Like you don't value other people's opinions. You're just like, no, you have a different opinion than us, and you need to be. It's like you need to be reformed. That's basically what I feel like he's saying. Like the unity they're talking about is like brainwashed reform, and like who wants that? All right. Okay, let's get into this White House because this is just crazy. There's a few of these that came out recently. Lindsay, can you play the first one?
This comment is really funny from Dom Rise. He said, "Hunter Biden made Ben's mic." That is pretty funny.
Yeah, all three of them. I really hope my mic is okay.
It's the gain is like really high. So like you're staticky and really loud, or you're really quiet. Man. It's weird. There's like no in between.
It's so weird. All right, let's play this, Lindsay.
The National Assessment of Educational Progress has this new testing that shows that 9-year-olds lost ground in both math and reading in pretty dramatic ways as a result of the pandemic. What is the president going to do about it? What is the administration going to do about this severe learning loss? And does the administration shoulder any blame for not pushing schools to reopen sooner?
So let's step back to where we were not too long ago when this president walked into this administration, how mismanaged the pandemic, the response to the pandemic was, how 47% of schools were in less than 6 months, our schools went from 46% to open to nearly all of them being open to full time. That was the work of this president. And that was the work of Democrats, in spite of Republicans not voting for the American Rescue Plan, which $130 billion went to school to have the ventilation, to be able to have the tutoring and the teachers and being able to hire more teachers. And that was because of the work that this administration did. We were in a place where, again, schools were not open. The economy was shut down. Businesses were shut down. And what we have seen is, you know, we've seen the numbers, but I think that's what we see. That's how we saw it. It shows you how mismanaged the pandemic was and how the impact of that mismanagement had on this on kids' progress and academic well-being. And so, again, our priority remains to make sure states and schools and districts are using these funds, that $130 billion. This is going to go to tutoring, to more teachers, real solutions to make sure that our kids are getting what they need. And, you know, every Republican Congress voted against that money. That is the reality. We had to do this on our own. And so, you know, we're going to make sure that those.
She just doesn't stop on it. She just doesn't shut up. She just keeps going.
Okay. Oh my gosh. This is what drives me insane, right? Fauci was the one that was like, we have to close the schools. And Trump's like, no, the schools should remain open. And then Fauci's like, all children need to wear masks. And Trump's like, no, we shouldn't force children to wear masks, you know? And he was more like, just wear a mask if you want to. And then Fauci, which we'll show here in a little bit, you know, he's like, masks don't work. You shouldn't wear masks. And then all of a sudden he's like, wear your masks. And then it's like, oh my God, this is what drives me insane is that Trump was trying to get, he wasn't trying to shut down anything. It was Fauci and the Democrats and all the Democratic cities that were like the mayors and the governors, because we were in New York at the time.
He actually told the governors to manage that. He stayed out of it, right? He was like, no, this is on the governors to manage what happens in there.
Dude,
in their
this is why city. He had the two ships. He created the two ships. I can't remember the names of the right. One of them was the Compassion or something like that. And the other one was, it starts with an M. I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head. One went to LA, one went to New York. And he's like, hey, so you don't overwhelm your hospitals. Here, we're going to send these medical ships to your cities. Board everyone on there who has COVID, you know, and that way it can be isolated and kind of removed from everything. And they refused to do it. Both governors, Newsom and
Cuomo.
Cuomo, they refused to use the Mercy. Yes, thank you guys. Yeah, Compassion and Mercy. I knew it started with an M there. Yeah. Oh, Comfort. Sorry. Mercy and Comfort. That was it. The Comfort, I think, was in LA. Mercy was in New York. And then it's like they refused to use them. Trump gave, I mean, this is what was so genius about Trump during the whole COVID thing, where he's like, okay, I don't know exactly what's going on in your cities and states. I'm going to give complete control to each governor because you guys know what's best. And this is what Trump is a businessman. So he's delegating, like, okay, you guys do this. I'm going to be in charge of the overall thing. What do you need? You come to me, you tell me what you need. I'll get the factories to make these things. They're like, we need like, you know, a million respirators, in which they didn't think Trump was going to do. And then he went to all the car manufacturers and was like, hey, start producing the respirators. Gave like 200 of them to Cuomo. And then Cuomo just throws them all in a warehouse where they still sit collecting dust, never been used. And it's like, this is...
This is the swamp. I mean, it was the swamp that closed everything down. And then they're blaming Trump for something that the federal government that he was fighting at the time decided, you know, like,
and not a single media person in there questioned
that. Yeah. What's up with that? Like, why let that woman talk and make a fool out of herself instead of bringing that up? You know, that's the media. What do you expect from them? You know?
I guess. Yeah. It's just like, do people believe in this? This is why I have such a hard time with this. I mean, like, here, like, majority of, like, Republican people were kind of standing up to this. It's like, hey, we don't want to shut down everything. The only thing that was open in New York was, like, McDonald's. You know, Trump never said, hey, shut down everything. It's like, well, okay, you know, if that's what your governor wants, I don't know exactly what's going on, we'll do that. That's why he was holding press conferences every week and almost daily about what's going on. He was the first president to really do that. And he was so informative, telling everybody what was happening. And that's where a lot of people's opinions changed about him, because they were watching it. And then CNN had to actually stop talking about Trump because they realized they were like switching over. People started listening to Trump because it's like, oh, hey, man, he's kind of handling this pretty well. And then we have Fauci over there that's just like
changing his mind every 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, whatever they can do to just go after Trump. But okay, sorry, guys. This just really frustrates me because we spent so long trying to like tell people what's happening. We're getting censored, we're getting deleted. And then like, here she is just saying exactly the same thing that we've been trying to say, except it's the opposite now. It's like, oh no, we've been trying to open the schools. It's like, no, you weren't. You were criticizing everyone.
But this is the same thing as them right now trying to blame Trump for all of the vaccine stuff.
Yes.
Like that, the vaccine stuff wasn't his, like, no matter how you shake this, he's around snakes everywhere. None of that was like his fault. I mean, I don't agree with vaccines, and I think it's weird that, like, what, like, I just think he underestimated how terrible, like, these people are. I think that's what it is he underestimated how evil they are, and then put faith in somehow the COVID-19 pulling everyone together so that we could fight for a common cause, when they were all just trying to get him out of office. That's all they were trying to do. They were trying to use anything that they could to attack him, use his decisions to attack him. And here he is, one guy fighting all of that. How are you going? What are you going to do? You know, like, you, there's not really much you can do.
Right. And then if you also remember, like, so, you know, the media were criticized. Like, he actually said, you should go out and get plenty of sunshine, because vitamin D actually helps fight against COVID is what they were finding. And then everyone's like making fun of that. Like, no. It's like, what? You just stay inside and be in darkness? Like, that doesn't make any sense. But then, you know, it's like, then he started talking about like HCQ, and then the media is like, no, this is like horrible, you can't do this, and blah, blah, blah. And then you,
Ben, you're super low now. Your volume.
Man, really?
Yeah. Dang.
Can you turn yours down maybe a little bit so we match? Then, yeah. And if you guys are listening, maybe it's better that you turn us up a little bit. Yeah, I'm trying to see, man, this is so weird. I don't know.
It's fine now. When your voice is there, it's fine. Okay, maybe if you raise your voice, it gets like super staticky. But then if you pull away too far, it's like super low.
Pull away too far, that's what happens. Right now I can see it's a little staticky. Okay. Yeah. All right. Man, yeah, it's really weird.
It's okay now.
All right.
Just talk normal level and you're fine.
We'll just try that, see what happens. Okay, sorry, I was on this little rant with all this stuff, but okay, let's talk about the 10,000 million jobs that Biden created.
Oh yeah, Lindsay. What is this?
You gotta listen, man, this is crazy.
As you know, the good news is in August, the economy created 315,000 jobs, which is important. We have created nearly 10,000 million jobs since President Biden took office, which is the fastest job growth in history. So you're asking me, where's the success? Here it is. Wait, let me finish.
Million jobs.
How much is 10,000 million jobs? Is that 10 billion? 10,000 million is 10 billion, isn't it?
That's what I thought. Like, that's what I was thinking, right? 10,000 million? Like, wow, Biden created 10 billion jobs? Is
I just started typing is 10,000 and it said is 10,000 million a number. Like, people have been searching for that in Google.
That's hilarious, man. Oh my god. Oh, we should share that.
Like, it's is 10,000 million a number.
Okay, let me share my screen, because I really want to look that up. Hold on just a second, you guys. I gotta see this. Yeah, actually, Lindsay, can you do it? Lindsay's gonna do it.
10,000 million is
10,000 million on number
is 10 million. 10,000. 10 million.
10,000.
It's 10 billion. Yeah. So it's 10 billion. So 10,000 million is 10 billion.
Wow.
So I had no idea that Joe Biden created 10 billion jobs since he's been in office. That's insane. We don't even have that many people in the country. There's only 320 million in the country, and he created 10 billion jobs.
I think it's the babies of the future. You can have jobs lined up for them.
Okay. Serious question here. I know that a bunch of fentanyl was just found recently, you know?
Yes.
I think there was like enough to like destroy a couple of countries that was found. So my question is the entire Biden administration on fentanyl? Because they certainly act and say things as if they're on fentanyl. Is that where all that came from? What is going on here?
That is hilarious, man. That is absolutely, well, we know Hunter is probably, well, we can say he's on crack, but I wonder if it's laced with fentanyl. So,
yeah, I was going to say, is he making his own fentanyl now too? Because we know he made his own crack.
Wow. Can you imagine if, I can't remember her name right now, but who is Trump? Well, I guess
McKenney.
Yeah, she was the newer one. Can you imagine if she said that number, 10, like Trump created 10,000 million jobs, like 10 billion jobs? Like, that's insane. Like, I seriously can't even like believe that she said that.
Oh, man. Dom just posted that that GIF of Dr. Evil going, $1 million, Dr. Evil. 10,000 billion jobs.
So, okay, there's one more thing she said on the 2016 elections. So, this is all from this week, too. This is what's insane about it. I just can't get over this stuff. All right.
The new attention on the MAGA Republicans. You tweeted in 2016,
I knew this
Trump
was coming.
Stole an election.
I was waiting, Peter, when you were going to ask me that question.
Well, okay, here we go. You tweeted Trump stole an election. You tweeted Brian Kemp stole an election. If denying election results is extreme now, why would
so that let's be really clear that. That comparison that you made is just ridiculous. I have been. Ridiculous. Well, you're asking me a question. Yes. Let me answer it.
And you said it was ridiculous.
I was talking specifically at that time of what was happening with voting rights and what was in danger of voting rights. That's what I was speaking to at the time.
The new attention on the MAGA Republicans. You tweeted in 2016,
I knew this
Trump
was coming.
Stole an election.
You tweeted, I was waiting.
So. He's basically calling out contradictions in what she said in the past, right?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I'm glad that somebody brought that up. I don't, Jean Pierre, I'm not sure what media he works for, but
he's been asking some questions recently that are a little bit more pointed, hasn't he?
He has been. Yeah. I mean, dude. Oh, I mean, oh my gosh, this like 10 million, 10,000 million. I mean, like, no one is like, hey, can you like, explain what number you mean there? Like 1 million, 10,000, like created 10,000 jobs. Like, that's not much to brag about. And honestly, he didn't even create these jobs. They're there because our economy opened back up. That's it. It's not like Biden just magically was like, hey, let's open new jobs. It's like, no, it's just people went back to work. It's like, that's it. It's like what we should compare is to what the job thing was right before COVID and then now. That, you know, and it's like, I guarantee you it's going to be lower. And then the stock market, I mean, don't even get me started on that. Everything just crashed again. So I'm sorry. I've just been like,
I'm still trying to figure out what 10,000 million is
or what she's referring to. And like, I'm just baffled by this. No media is like, can you explain that? Like, what the heck? Come on. I guarantee you there's going to be some update.
Dude, Trump should come out and say, I can give you 10,000 million reasons they stole the election. It would be the best. There's so many opportunities here.
Oh, geez. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right. We have to play another trailer and then we'll come back and we need to show, we can talk about some vaccine stuff when we come back and some kind of crazy things that are going on with that. So we'll
trailer away.
In this series, from Edge of Wonder, we dive into neural nets, sentient robots, gene editing technology, smart implants, programmable monkeys, evolution, and social manipulation. Is resistance futile? How can we rage against the machine?
All right, you guys, that was the transhumanism series on Rise TV. I want to just tell you that what Ben and I do is we research and dig into things, right? And I can give you 10,000 million reasons to subscribe to Rise TV, but our behind the paywall content, the produced content, is one of the 10,000 million reasons you should subscribe. Because we have tons and tons of episodes. I think we have 10,000 million episodes now that are actually on there in the all content section that you can look through. And they're awesome. So check them out. And if you can support our work, it's only $10, not $10,000 million a month to subscribe to Rise TV. And it keeps the lights on and it keeps us researching and doing what we do. Love you guys. Thanks for helping us over there, all you guys at Rise TV.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, thank you. And I, actually, Metal Avenger on our chat, she had a very good reason for what she was saying, because math is racist. So there you go.
I saw that comment. That's great. Very funny comment.
Yeah, I guess that's why no one corrected her. Maybe, you know, it's possible somebody did, like, afterwards or something. I don't know. But still, it's just crazy. All right. Okay. So Trump had his rally and tens of thousands of millions of people showed up to that. And Joe had his little gathering in which.
Dude, we live in such a clown world. Like, our press secretary got up on stage and said 10,000 million in front of the world. How is it like the last time I said 10,000 million, I was 7 years old.
I heard it and I was just like, what is this? But anyway, here's
Ben, little ask me how many times Joe Biden has crapped his pants in public.
How many times? 1,000 million?
10,000 billion. All right, what are we listening to here, Lindsay? Sorry, everybody. I can't get past it.
Well, you can play it, but this is okay. So he's actually speaking to union leaders, but I'm just thinking, there could they, are they paid union leaders that were paid to show up or what? But like, hardly, you know, here's Biden speaking to hardly anybody, and Trump is getting like sold out arenas
as usual. Well,
it's not, you don't have to buy a ticket, but I mean, the arenas are completely full, and I think that just shows, right? This dude is the sitting president and no one shows up when he speaks. I think that says a lot.
Interesting that you're calling him the sitting president, because I don't think another president has sat as much as Joe Biden, actually, in his basement. I think he's sat a lot. Yeah.
Oh gosh, that might be true. All right.
We should create a documentary called 10,000 Million Mules. It's a sequel. Ren America just gave me that.
We should create a mock documentary called that 10,000 Million Mules. Oh gosh, that's pretty funny. Well, okay, slightly on a more serious tone, so okay, related to Biden's, I don't even know what you want to call Biden's speech,
mid 20th century Mussolini style Soviet now. Union and the Nazis had a baby speech.
That would be a good way of describing it, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how basically most of the country is a threat to the country. But anyway, so a poll was conducted and they found that
10,000 million people are a threat in the United States. That's how many are a threat.
10,000
how many million. MAGA Republicans there are.
Yeah, and I guarantee you that there's more people that are a threat than the jobs that he created. So there you go. Well, they found
look
that
how 58- green he looks there.
Dude, yeah, that's the CNN like screenshot, because CNN pulled down the reds and so it made him green because they you know his
background was pink, yes.
So that's why it pulled the color out. I mean, I know like green and red is kind of the opposite ends when you're fixing photos and whatnot, and that's exactly what happened. They pulled down the reds, and then they pulled down the reds in his face, and it just was green like a lizard. So anyway, okay, 56.8% the likely general election voters said that Biden's speech represents a dangerous escalation and rhetoric and is designed to incite conflict among Americans. That's what they said. Almost 90% of Republicans said that Biden's speech represents a dangerous escalation. Almost 5% saying it was acceptable, and 6.2% said they weren't sure. So
what was the percentage of Democrats? What did they say?
Well, I'm not sure, because it didn't go in specifics with Democrats. It just said 50% of the people polled, and then 90% of Republicans said that Biden's speech represented a dangerous escalation. And then 5% was acceptable. So I don't know if this is all like Republicans, if this was just general people. I'm not really sure, but I didn't really see specifically about Democrats. I'm really curious about that, though. I really want to know what kind of moderate Democrats think about this.
I think those numbers would be very interesting and more significant than talk. Of course, Republicans are going to think that he was targeting Republicans, you know, who generally speaking are scared for legitimate reasons of communism or Nazism taking over the country or fascism. That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, what did the Democrats say is the question. I wonder what they thought of the crazy speech he gave.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. Actually, I'm looking in the article right now just to see if I missed that. Okay, Democrats were more likely to see the speech as acceptable, while Republicans were saying it was like dangerous. So I'm guessing that 5% and that 6% were more Democrats kind of coming back saying like it was acceptable and it was okay. But 90% of all Republicans. So that's interesting, because if they were like polling people who were like specifically Democrats, specifically Republicans, what was the other Democrats really thinking? It doesn't really go into that. Oh, 31% said it. 64% of independent voters said that the speech was dangerous. So they agreed, the independents. 30% of independents said it was acceptable. Okay, there we go.
As 70% of Democrats said that the speech was acceptable campaign messaging.
Where are you reading it? No, I was talking about independents.
No, I know, but right below that, just before, I don't know what Lindsay did, but
Democrats. Okay, here we go. 70% of Democrats said that the speech was acceptable campaign.
Yeah, go to that part, Lindsay.
18% said it was designed to incite conflict. There we go. There it is. 70% of Democrats said the speech was acceptable campaign messaging.
I think this is fake. Like, this is fake. Like, 70% of the 10 Democrats we also polled.
It doesn't say where it was. It just says a new poll have revealed. Like, where is this poll?
Where is it? Is there sources in here, Lindsay? In this, and are they not? Are they not? Like, they could say anything. This could be anything.
It just says a new poll conducted by Trifoglar Group for the Convention of States Actions. It looks
what
like it's saying,
what group is it?
Dude,
how do you spell it?
Trafalgar.
Okay. Lindsay, can you do a separate search for Trafalgar Group?
Trafalgar. Like, who names them? Trafalgar? Dude, I don't even know.
Trafalgar. Okay. It must be.
Trafalgar.
Okay. Or Trafalgar.
56.8% of likely general election voters said that Biden's speech was dangerous. Well, I mean, basically what they're saying. So
okay, what's this?
Is it,
scroll
right?
down.
Like, what is this? Yeah.
Superior strategy. It is. Above leadership can prevail even under even larger numbers, greater resources, and conventional wisdom. Political and corporate surveys market.
Polling methodology. Click on that. What does it say? Oh, go down. Right underneath what you highlighted? Yeah, click on that. Okay. Actually gets into a little bit of detail here. Live callers. So I guess they just call people. Integrated voice response. I don't even know what the heck that means. It's like voice response from what? Text messages, emails, and two other proprietary digital methods we don't share publicly, probably Twitter, which would mostly be bots. So I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
We can count on. And what do you mean you don't publicly share? Like, what the heck does that even mean? Are you doing it legally? With listening to people, like, I don't use it, whatever. It's super weird. We utilize short questionnaires of 9 questions or less based on our perceptions about attenuated attention spans and the need to accommodate modern busy lifestyles. Said the polls last about 3 minutes. I don't know. I didn't get a call, so I don't know. And it doesn't say how many people they polled in this particular study. So, I mean, is it like 100? Is it 10,000 million? I don't know. Yeah, so it's hard to say.
Okay, hold it. So look, Trafalgar Group.
You're looking up
Robert
some stuff.
Robert Cahalay, Cahalay, is the founder of Trafalgar Group.
Okay, Chicken Coop Lady in our chat said they're the only group that predicted Trump's win in 2016. So, I mean, honestly, I feel like this poll that they did was pretty accurate. But it's more of like, I just want to know the background of whose page? What's on his page?
Those of you that can't hear Lindsay, she's,
yeah, sorry. Lindsay said it's on his way. It's on her. It's on his page. Okay. This is the dude. And he's, oh, interesting. Showing a clear 300 plus Trump victory, effectively rejecting the industry consensus of a large, significant Hillary Clinton electoral win.
Well, what did they say in 2020? I bet they said the same thing. And then, you know, it didn't happen.
That would be interesting to know. That would be very interesting. I'm just reading some of these comments in the chat. Trafalgar is the king of Fraggles. There you go, right there. King of Fraggle Rock. Marcus, that was pretty funny. All right. Anyway, no, I mean, seriously, this does look pretty legit in how they do things. And there was actually a lot of polls that predicted Trump's win in 2016. I think even CNN had a poll and they just shut it down because they didn't want to believe it. So,
okay, we're at 8:30 right now, Ben.
Wow, we are at 8:30, dude.
Is there
okay
anything that we needed to go through before we go over to Rise TV really quick?
Well, I did, man, we didn't even get into the vaccine stuff, so we're gonna have to talk about that on Rise. So the massive thing that I really found was this Facebook, I wanted to get into it now, but we're running out of time, so we'll get into this Facebook group called Died Suddenly, and it literally has about over 200,000 members, and there is a post literally every half hour of a personal story from a family member related to what they're calling the carrot, because the carrot emoji looks like the jab.
The jab.
So they use the carrot emoji for it. And, but it's insane, really insane, very detailed stories. So I really wanted to go over that. We're going to show more of that. Then there's a bunch of stuff related to Hillary Clinton and all the crazy things that she's saying right now, actually related to Trump. And it's like, you had 33,000 emails on a server that she's saying what she's saying, as opposed to what actually happened, and even a direct quote from Comey himself, who was handling the entire investigation. And we'll get into all of that on Rise TV.
But before we do, we have this video to warm you up of Bill Clinton saying something very interesting before he was president. Is that right, Ben?
Yeah, before he was. I'm not sure if it was his first or second term, but
listen to this, everybody.
Listen more than watch.
I believe that together we can make America great again. And with your help, your heart, your devotion, and your efforts, we can build a community of hope that will inspire the world. God bless you, and thank you very much.
Can we send this to Hillary? Ben, on Rise TV, let's go ahead and tweet this out to Hillary Clinton.
Sounds good. Yeah. Remember when Bill Clinton said, make America great again?
Hillary, yeah, can you tell us what he meant by this?
Was Biden actually referring to Bill Clinton? That's the big question. All right. So we're going to get into all of this and her emails and this crazy thread about the vaccines and more Fauci contradictions and our Q&A, where you guys can ask us your questions directly. So go ahead and ask away in our chat. So, all right.
All right, you guys, come see us over on Rise, where we'll talk about all of that stuff. And thanks a lot for being with us over here on Rumble. And yeah, we'll see you over at Rise.
Yep. See you out in 10,000 million minutes.
I assure you, vampires are just in the movies. I would swear it on my soul if I had one. What truths are lurking in our legends? They couldn't possibly be based on a real-life monster, could they? Vlad the Impaler was not just known for his war tactics. Some say that he was also the world's first vampire, Dracula. But is it all just a batty tale? Or are the movies talking about something real? Find out in part one of Edge of Wonders Halloween series, Vlad the Impaler and Dracula.